We now turn to Lesson 1 in your discipleship on biblical salvation. We'll review our memory verse and we'll learn a new verse called our lesson verse. Our memory verse is Matthew 4:4. And let's review that. I will say it out loud, and it would do you well to say it out loud as well. So let's say it again with the location or the reference, Matthew 4:4 at the beginning and at the end. Let's do it. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Now, we don't have to go over that and over that and over that. You're welcome to, but you don't have to review that 100 times in order to learn that verse. What you do need to do is, every once in a while, just look back at that scripture, find it in your Bible, write it down somewhere, and say it out loud. And as you do that, over a few hours or even just a few days, that verse will be memorized. Now, that is our memory verse. But specifically, our lesson verse is actually two verses found in the little book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John is at the very end of your Bible, and if you'll find, all you have to do is find Revelation and then go backwards a few pages, and you'll find the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12. Two verses. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record, and it's written up there, by the way, on your discipleship, sort of help you to remember it. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now those two verses are powerful. God gave us a written record, proving to us that he gave us eternal life. And this life is found where? Is it in the church? Is it in some country? Is it in your family? Is it in anything else? No, it's only in one place, and it's actually the place is a person. It's in his Son. And if you've got the Son, guess what you have? You've got life. And if you do not have the Son of God, you do not have eternal life. Pretty plain, isn't it? Now, by way of introduction, the decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the greatest decision you could ever make. The purpose of this lesson is to explain briefly what happened when you got saved and how the decision to trust Christ forever affects your relationship with God. The requirement of salvation. As you notice, as we go along in the discipleship, I'll just move along. We're now at Roman numeral 2. God's salvation is not something imposed or forced upon humanity. It is given to us freely, requiring a committed choice on our part to accept it. To make that right choice, we have to have all the facts. Let us now look at the facts about sin and salvation as presented by the Bible. We're not going to worry about opinions, what you think, what I think. We're going to look at what the Word of God says. And first of all, we're going to need to come to some conclusions. First of all, look at A. The spiritual condition of every person is described as what? Let's look at two verses of Scripture. Romans, right after the Gospel of John comes Acts, and after Acts comes Romans. So find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans, chapter 3, and verse 10. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you? How many righteous people are there on this planet? There are none. No, not one. Now look down to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us sin. All of us. That includes you. That includes me. So if you were to come up with a descriptive word, what would it be if you were going to describe the spiritual condition of every person? Now, a lot of people may be very good in kindness. They may be good in going to church. They may be good in many things. But spiritually, every person has a problem. What is it? We are described as, look at the last of verse 23, all have sinned. We're sinners. That's your answer. The spiritual condition is we're sinners. Maybe there are good sinners and there are some bad sinners, but we're all sinners. B. Well, what does the Bible say sin is? Ah, now we go back to that little book we were just in, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. What does the Bible define sin as? I don't care what your priest or your pastor or your parents describe it as. What does a politician say? It doesn't matter. What does God say is what we're concerned with. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Look at that word, law. That's a fixed truth there. When God describes what is lawful or is not lawful, he makes an absolute statement. And when we cross that law, that's what it means to transgress. It means to cross a line. When we cross that law, we have sinned. So let's continue on. So what does the Bible say sin is? You're filling the transgression of the law. We'd say the breaking of the law. So why don't you fill in that line there on B, and we'll go on. To transgress is to cross a line that God laid out showing what is right and what is wrong. When we cross his laws, when we break through them, we sin. We call it breaking God's laws. Everybody could be doing something. But if God said not to do it, and we go ahead anyway, then we have sinned. It's that simple. Doesn't matter what it is. From stealing a pack of chewing gum, to lying, to murdering, when we go against God's law, I don't care if everybody's doing it, we have sinned. C. To be classified as a sinner does not mean being a murderer or a thief, but it means when a person does any kind of sin. Let's go to James now. James is just a few pages before this. You'll turn your Bible to the left and go just a few pages, maybe 10 pages, and you need to find James chapter 2, verse 9. James 2, in verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Wow. Just by me taking care of one person and ignoring another person, when I show favors, what he's talking about, to only a select group, maybe somebody who looks like me, talks like me, and I ignore another group who are different than me, if I show only respect to a certain group, it says that I sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. There's that phrase again, that breaking of the law. For whosoever, now, some people don't think that it matters if you just ignore somebody or you only treat a certain select group of people as your friends. The Bible says this, if you have respect to persons, you're committing sin. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, say you're a good person and you keep all of the rest of the laws, and yet offend in how many points? All you have to do is break one of them. What does it say? He is guilty not of one breakage, but as if he broke all of them. Now, is that wild or what? Man. You know, to be classified, let's read C again in their discipleship. To be classified, to have this label of sinner placed upon us, does that mean that we are, does not only mean that we are a murderer or a thief, but it means when a person does any sin, like stealing or cursing or rebelling or hating or even dishonoring or coveting. Therefore, anyone who sins at all is a sinner in God's eyes and needs to be saved, because sin damns us. D. Now compare this truth to a tree. A small tree can be known for what it is even when it has no fruit. The fruit, let's say apples, comes later. But it produces apples because it is a what? An apple tree. And a sinner sins because he or she is a sinner. Now, what is the penalty that God places on our sin? Oh, we got to go back to James for this now. Romans. We were just in it, James. We go to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Hey, I bet you're getting good at some of these books. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Very last verse of the chapter. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. What's the penalty that God places on our sin? For the wages of sin is, what's our penalty? Death. Ah, but thank God the Bible doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages, if you look in your discipleship, are what we earn, isn't it? They're the result of our actions. You work for 8 hours, you work for 5 days that week, or 6 days that week, you expect to get paid. Those are your wages. They're the result of all of our works. Well, wages are what we've earned. And we earn what? Death. But they are the opposite of the what of God in the verse, which cannot be earned. Well, wages of sin is death. Notice the opposite. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's your fill in there on E? Gift of God. Gift cannot be earned. F. Is it possible for a sinner to save himself or herself from the penalty of their sin through good works? Yes or no? What do you think? Circle what you think. Can you, by good works, save yourself from your sins? Well, let's go to Ephesians. It's always good to check what the Bible says before we make up our own mind. Ephesians, please, chapter 2. This is a great verse. This is a verse, all of these verses are great to memorize. And then, because you'll be called upon, you'll be talking to another person, and they'll be, as you're finding in Ephesians chapter 2, they'll be chatting away with you and then bring up some disagreement with the gospel, and you would love to have these scriptures ready at hand to be able to give them the truth about how to be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, grace is a gift. It's by God's grace, his givingness. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Salvation is a what? A gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me ask you again. Is it possible for a sinner to save himself or herself from the penalty of their sin through good works? Not of works, Ephesians 2 says. Notice that it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you imagine what heaven be like if you got to heaven because you were good, because you said your prayers, because you didn't really do anything bad? You know what you'd do? You'd be sitting down next to somebody else, and the two of you would brag and boast and talk about how you got yourself into heaven. Whereas according to the Bible, it's only by faith in what Jesus did. Secondly, notice also that it's not by works of... here's a blank. Let's see what we can find out. This is telling us. Go to the right and find Titus. Now, Titus is before 1 John. If you get to Hebrews, go back left a little bit. Come back from Hebrews and find the little book called Titus, chapter 3, in verse 5. Remember that if I'm going too fast, just hit pause, find it, and then join me again. Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. Our Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's not by works of my righteousness, which I may be doing. It's always because he has great mercy on us. Mercy is when he doesn't give us what we deserve. And what do we deserve? We deserve hell. And it's by his mercy that he even gives us the opportunity to be saved. So I can't impress him. I can't work towards getting saved. I have to trust the grace and the mercy of God when he gave his son for my sin. So what's your fill in there, number two? Is not by works of righteousness. Even my good works won't save me. Number three, salvation is only obtained by surrender, where you allow Jesus to do all the saving of your soul. No longer trying to do all the right things to earn heaven. Stop working at being good and accept what Jesus did for you in your place. G. What did God provide for us when his son died? All right, let's find out. What did he provide for us? Let's go find John chapter 3, please. Go back to the left and find the Gospel of John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 3, and we want to find verse 16 and verse 17. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's that Bible word over and over in your Bible. It talks about being saved. Now, what kind of life did God give to us when he took away his own Son's life? Well, what kind of life? Eternal life. Everlasting life. But to get it, we must be born And you can probably fill in that blank without even reading it. Born what? Again. Let's go back to verse 3, still in John chapter 3, and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, we'll find out who he's talking to in just a moment, but Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, really, really, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You ought to mark that verse. You ought to line those words, born again, in your Bible. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Run down to verse 7. Marvel not, don't be amazed, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now we're going to study what all that's talking about in just a few minutes, but God provided for us eternal life, everlasting life, but you only get it when you get born again. H. According to Jesus, is there any other way to heaven than through Jesus alone? John 14 now. Let's go to the right and find the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 6. John 14, and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Whew. Answer for me. Is there any other way to get to heaven than through Jesus? Not according to Jesus. He says, I'm the only way. There is no other life. There's no other truth outside of me. Nobody. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not transcendental meditation, not yoga, not good works, not the Roman Catholic Church, not the Protestant Church, not the Baptist Church, not the Methodist Church. No other way than through Jesus Christ alone. So your answer is no. I. Basically, the theme of the Bible from start to finish is all about the something of God, which taketh away the something of the world. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Because all of this, listen, this is what the Bible's all about. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus. This is John the Baptist. He seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's your fill-ins. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what we want. Praise God, that's what we need.